And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Hagmann Report. It's Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. I'm going to welcome wherever you might be at. I want to welcome you to this edition of the show. With me, the first hour is going to be Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com, that is. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things. And just to give you a kind of an advance notice, tomorrow Steve is going to be back. Steve Whale is going to be back with me tomorrow. He's got a lot of stuff to talk about as well. So it's going to be a powerful show today as well as tomorrow. Before I get into the program, I want to just direct everyone's attention to the cold outside. I mean, how cold is it where you're at? I got to tell you, I was out today and it was absolutely mind-blowing cold. And even in our den, it was very cold throughout the evening, yesterday evening, last night, this morning. I mean, it was just freezing. So I turned to a device I have and it's plugged in. That's why. Staywarmnow.com, folks. Staywarmnow.com after the warm summer in 2024. We saw a spike in power bills. Now households are seeing the same problem with heating bills as America heads into the peak. Really, I'm not even sure we're at the peak, but it seems that way right now of a very frigid winter. Families are bringing attention to the exceptionally high heating bills that they received earlier this month. They're almost double that of the previous month when you thought it wasn't even possible. Yeah, but it is. The rise in utility costs are even forcing some to have to decide between paying for food, medicine, or the heating bill. It shouldn't be that way. There's one thing you can do, and this is one thing I started doing it for. I'll tell you flat out, I started doing it for my own comfort, and then I noticed that actually I was able to turn the heat down in a specific room and not really use that much gas. And so I'm saving money. I use that little amazing portable device you see on your screen. I'm telling you, it really works well. And I love how toasty warm it makes my home without the added heating costs. And it's portable, but powerful. It's a mini heater that makes any place warm and cozy in no time. And it's compact enough. If I want to, I could take it with me when I travel or take it in different rooms of the house, my office, studio, you name it. And there are built-in safety features. For example, overheat protection, adjustable heat levels, and so on. So do yourself a favor. Grab this product. Grab one. Right now, they're up to 60% off this winter season only at staywarmnow.com. Plus, if you order today, you're going to get free expedited shipping, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and several other free bonuses. But once again, that's staywarmnow.com. I want to thank them as well for being part of the show. Now, with me is Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. You know, hand in hand with the heat, I've got to say that, the cold outside, I've got to say that nutrition is important. Keeping yourself healthy is important. So that's why I go to teamhealthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com. And I take advantage of the products there. By the way, I'm drinking right now my magnesium. I've got a purple stick with magnesium. I've been taking zinc and vitamin D and so on because, you know, the sun, well, I haven't seen the sun in a couple of months. So do yourself a favor, go to teamhealthmasters.com. And get your product stock up on them because you just don't know when things are going to go south. But talking about that as well as, well, just a number of issues, topical issues. Oh, by the way, when you're at Team Health Masters or Health Masters, they're both, Health Masters is the older site, Team Health Masters, newer site. But they both also have the option where you can get to the radio program. Listen to the radio program, Ted and Austin Brower Show. Got to tell you, man, it's fantastic. It's necessary show prep for this platform. And I know a lot of people who listen to them on the way to work and so on. So go there and listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. You can drill down for the archives as well. And they do a nice show summary too for each show. So you can select in the archive the ones you've missed. All right. Couple things real quick, but Austin, you're going to have, I'm telling you, you're going to have all the time you need, and you're welcome to stay. I got to tell you, looks like right now, and I don't know how many, I don't know what you want to talk about today, but looks like the IRS is going to start laying some people off, starting with the Biden hires, okay, up to 6,000 or around 6,000 potential layoffs this week. This, according to the New York Times, that's interesting. The State Department, in case you missed this, I don't know why this hasn't happened before. They are prepared and preparing to designate Latin American gangs, for example, Tren de Aragua, the MS-13 gang, and the Sinaloa cartel as foreign terrorist organizations. I had thought they had already done that with respect to MS-13 in Sinaloa. I didn't realize I don't know what happened, but this will appear, I believe, in the Federal Register, and that's going to be published on February 20th, and it's going to outline how the U.S. State Department under Marco Rubio intends to designate TDA, Sinaloa, and MS-13 as FTAs or FTOs, foreign terrorist organizations. So when you look at it in the combination of that action, the action by the Department of Homeland Security under President Donald Trump, Customs and Border Patrol, U.S. Treasury Department, the designation itself opens up a lot of authority for the U.S. government to target not only the gangs, but the entity or enterprise who supports their activity. And if you think about this, now think about this, because this is to me, this is the lead that's being buried. If you support their activity, you can be caught up in this foreign terrorist organization quagmire. I don't know how else to paint it, but for facilitating FTOs and get really sideways with the U.S. Government, State Department, as well as the different charging agencies. But think about Mexico, the government of Mexico. And even think about the NGOs. That's what really, I mean, they're not talking about this, but that's what's getting, to me, that's so important. The NGOs that either directly or indirectly support these foreign terrorist organizations, once designated, once it hits the Federal Register, I believe again on the 20th of February, then, of course, there could be actions taken against these NGOs. And even some governments like Mexico, even El Salvador, other places, as well as, of course, as I mentioned, the NGOs here in the U.S. So there's that. I think it's a great move. And to me, that's one of the more important stories this week so far. So again, with me, Austin Brewer, healthmasters.com. Austin, thanks for joining me. I know it's I know it's in the evening for you. It's and I know you do a program in the morning and you work throughout in between. So I appreciate your gracious gift of time. Come on board. How you doing,
Doug? It's great being on the show. I was actually in the middle of making a shake. We were switching over fifth food shake. I like these night shows. I'm getting used to them. I'm actually enjoying my time with you every other week. We have there such a fun time on the show together. So, and I mean seriously, it's nice. I like staying up late anyway, so it gives me an excuse to work more, which I always like doing. This whole thing with these terrorist organizations and being designated this, excuse me, it changes the whole game. Because as soon as these guys get busted, even here in the United States, to my knowledge, if they're affiliated with these gangs, they are handled differently than a normal arrest. Is that accurate, since they're considered basically terrorists?
Yeah, there's a whole different law enforcement protocol if you are a designated terrorist or terrorist organization. And that designation holds with it a very specific line of prosecution. And it broadens and even deepens the potential for punishment. So, you know, if found guilty. And also, And I believe this is an artifact in the post 9/11 era, which is maybe the only redeeming value of that is if you are proved to be, if you're proved to be a foreign terrorist organization or person, you can be, the certain constitutional provisions don't apply to you. Okay.
Right.
Just saying. Okay. So, yes. So that was a long answer to a short question, but yes.
Well, that's what I want to make sure. I'd read that before. I wanted to verify it, though, because the issue that we have seen, it's also in Colorado and other states where these gangs have exploded, especially like the Honduras gangs, like the Trinlin and stuff like that, is that under Biden, they pretty much were operating with impunity. I mean, not only were they not being deported, law enforcement pretty much was scared to deal with them. So not only were they coming in by the droves, being paid to come here by the droves, getting free cell phones and free everything when they got here, law enforcement was pretty much like, don't touch them, leave them alone. And so it really emboldened a lot of these groups to the point where they were taking over that entire apartment complex in Colorado. And so I think now this is about to change the entire game, because now when these guys start realizing, when they start acting like this and they're starting to be affiliated with these gangs, they're not just going to go to holding and get bonded out. They are basically going to be held. And it's a good thing. I can't stand terrorists, and I can't stand people that are bullies in general that are going around trying to do all types of, you know, sadistic behavior, kidnapping and extortion and murder and rape. I mean, these guys are sick. I mean, most of them are just completely and totally just out of control. And so they honestly, there's certain people that just need to be incarcerated, period.
Man,
they do not belong in a civilized society.
No. The involvement. You don't have to be an FTO, foreign terrorist organization, to be involved in child sex trafficking or human trafficking, drug trafficking, whatever. But on the flip side, the punishment that could come your way, it makes it a little bit more, I don't know, engaging in that activity. You might want to think a little bit harder before you do that. But you know what, Austin? I'm convinced. The more I look at things, I am so convinced that we need to really just knock down the entire house and rebuild it from start, because the elected officials, to me, maybe there's a few that have some redeeming value. I don't know, but I'm seeing more and more. I'm getting very frustrated, you know, with the Congress. I'm getting frustrated with the entirety of the judiciary. And I don't know if Pam Bondi is going to make that much of a difference, especially with an activist judiciary. I'm just, what are you seeing? I mean, I'm frustrated because I don't want activist judges coming in and telling us what we can and can't do in terms of saving the republic. Go ahead. I mean,
well, yeah, I think we're reaching a point now. We talked about this briefly on last show with you 2 weeks ago, and now we're seeing more with everything that's coming out now with these agencies that are completely out of control, with USAID, with all the way from the FDA to the CDC, all these, you know, Department of Education, the amount of money that they were getting, the amount of money that they were using to manipulate and push these Marxist communist ideologies with DEI to fund all types of international just debauchery. On top of that, we see now a lot of this money was getting paid to contractors, private contractors, a lot of stuff was being funneled back to the CIA. This is insane. And the biggest thing, and I brought it up, me and Ted brought up on the show the other day, I said, all this stuff, now that, you know, the Doge team has been going through it, we're getting list upon list upon list of line items and monetary, you know, aspects of what was spent. Why is it that Congress, the do-nothing, sorry sack of crap Congress that we've had for the last 20, 30 years, has been continually voting for this? Only reason I could see this happening is that they want to get their pockets padded too. Because, I mean, we've heard it so many times. We used to joke about it. Oh, that we have to pass the bill so we can see what's in it. We have to pass the spending bill to find out what's in it. Well, how about we actually just skim the spending bill down and we all read it and we all have an idea of it and we vote for it now? Because obviously Congress is too inept or too compromised and corrupt to actually do their job. The entire purpose of Congress was to represent the people of the United States. That's the purpose of a Congress in a republic. So if they're sitting there and they're allowing hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars to be dispersed to millions of agencies that is being thrown in the wind, all these different perverted things they're doing, including corruption, to overthrowing different aspects of government, all these things, then what is Congress for, and why do we have it in a republic if they're going to do nothing? That either means the Congress needs to be completely changed, or we need to restructure something, because obviously it's gotten too compromised. It doesn't work anymore.
Exactly. And you've got people out there. First of all, you got the people out there who bitch, who don't have any idea what they're bitching about. Okay.
Right.
You know, Musk and Trump, bad people, you know, calling for their assassinations. I mean, I cannot believe how many are out there like that. Okay. Put them aside for a minute. Then you have people out there. Now, I guess that would be a different subject, but you have these bills that, or these, this money allocated that we are finding out is a bunch of crap. For example, you know, $1 million to study the lesbian tendencies of the South American cockroach so you cut that, but instead of just cutting that, why not publish the text of that bill? That bill, when it was passed, when it was appropriated, the text, and then who signed or who sponsored that? Whose idea was that? I want to know. I want names. And then you know what? We go after those people for the million and a half personally, and claw back that money. It's not enough just to, I mean, look, great. Cut the spending. I love it. But also shame the people who created these absolutely moronic things out there. That's kind of
quite frankly, that's one of probably the best things you've said already on this show, because you're exactly right. Cutting the spending is crucial to try to maintain a budget. But then actually publicly ousting these individuals who have sponsored these bills, when you know good and well, I mean, that we spent $3.2 million to publish transgender comic books in Peru. I mean, really? I really want to know who's like, dude, this is great. But you got to remember, a lot of this stuff, to my knowledge, some of this stuff, especially with USAID, because it's like one of the most corrupt agencies, they were getting this massive influx of cash. They're getting their budget. And then essentially, because they're these agencies that have gone rogue, they just kind of just spend the money how they want after Congress has appropriated it to them. And that's the issue that we've watched now, too, what's happened with the Chevron doctrine, which, thank God, has now been overturned last year, because you have these agencies with the EPA and the USDA and the CDC where they can come in and say, well, we are the designated professionals in this topic. This is our agency. We are just going to arbitrarily pick things that we don't like and that we do like to fund or either cancel. We've seen it now with the EPA and everything they're doing. We see what's going on now with the USDA and this massive, massive influx of wiping out all these chickens. I read an article the other day, and it said bird flu is the rerun of the COVID playbook. And it broke down everything that happened with COVID and how essentially, if you look at it in line item, this bird flu is another thing that they're doing almost the exact same way. And it talked about in detail now how this mass slaughter of farm animals and food shortages is being completely controlled. And the USDA is basically acting as a rogue agency. The leadership needs to be reviewed and culled. The U.S. FDA needs to absolutely have everything opened up as far as what's going on with this next doge, you know, push that they're doing. Because what we're seeing now here is the same thing with the pandemic preparedness industry. They're perpetuating fear-mongering and irresponsible mass PCR testing. They're coming in and saying, okay, we're doing a PCR test on a bunch of chickens. Oh, these chickens tested positive for bird flu. They're not symptomatic. They're not having problems, but it doesn't matter. 2 million chickens, slaughter them, cull them all, get rid of them. Okay. And then what they're doing, I found out now, this is crazy. Now what they're doing is they're having these banks attached with these mandates to cull these chickens. And these banks are giving the farmers 0% interest loans to cover the cost of these chicken cullings. The problem with it is there's an expiration date on these zero interest loans while there's zero interest. And secondly, it's still a loan. It still has to be paid back. So we're watching here, in my opinion, we're watching the food industry and the poultry industry the beef industry getting slowly and silently taken over by these undercover groups that we've seen out like BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, where they're going to come in now in the next 2-3 years when a lot of these industry groups can't pay back their loans after they've had to wipe out their entire chickens. And they're going to go, okay, well, we're defaulting on this, and BlackRock's going to come in and own it. They're either going to shut it down or they're going to do whatever they want with it. But the fact that the USDA has this much authority where they can start coming in and saying, we now took a PCR test, which isn't even accurate. It's never been accurate. It's H5N1 positive. All your chickens have to be slaughtered, and you have to do it now. It's a mandate, or we're basically going to revoke your license, and we're going to sue you or charge you or whatever else the USDA has the power to do. That's pretty crazy, and that's what we're running into now. At the same time, the $590 million bird flu vaccine development contract from Moderna was passed by the Biden administration just 3 days before Trump got elected. So now we got almost $500 million of money going to Moderna, again, one of the key agencies during COVID that got all that grant money to manufacture a COVID-19 RNA shot. They now are getting an enormous amount of money to make RNA bird flu vaccines. This, again, is exactly what you're talking about. This stuff, A, needs to be cut out, and these agencies need to be opened up and figure out what the heck is going on, because they should never have the ability to be able to operate this autonomously with impunity to do anything they want. That's not a how a republic works, Doug.
So, okay, I was looking at something that I suppose it would be on the same, I guess on the same plane that as you're referencing, where President Trump is now poised to stop all COVID shots. Now, I don't know if, first of all, I don't
saw that.
Okay, did you? Okay, is it legitimate? Do you think? I mean,
it's not, from what I've read, this isn't Trump's doing. This is something that RFK is going to be pulling together here, and it's actually pretty legitimate from what I've been reading. Again, I don't know how it's going to be pushed through. I had the topic here. I had the article pulled up when I had my internet crash on me earlier, and I'll be able to find it here in a second. But essentially, yes, they said that the health officials that are coming in now are recommending a complete stop to COVID vaccines of all age groups in the United States, according to the report. This is on Zero Hedge, Daily Mail. Multiple have covered this now. They said the move would effectively ban the vaccine amid widespread suggestion that they're having expansive side effects causing spikes and excess deaths. Dr. Jay Blackachara, I'm butchering that, my bad. Donald Trump's nomination to lead the National Institute of Health was backed a petition calling for the RNA vaccines to be paused and retested. Now it seems that basically also since RFK Jr. is in there, they're looking at this with claims that there's a causal link between the RNA shots and an alarming rise in excess deaths worldwide. And essentially, they're wanting to go in now and completely halt this. They assert that the new health secretary, RFK Jr., is ready to axe the shots if the data supports such a move. RFK already previously petitioned the FDA to revoke all emergency authorization of the shots 6 months after they were rolled out, citing lack of data for their efficacy and safety.
Okay.
You and I covered this, and I was going into detail on this back when it happened in 2020 and 2021 when the emergency use came out, because there was no other viable option for COVID, which is a complete lie, because vitamin C and zinc and ivermectin were working fantastic with everybody we worked with at the office. They came in and RFK Jr. said, dude, this shot is not safe. This is not effective. None of the data is pointing the shot safe. We don't know what this is going to do to everybody long term. And now, 5 years down the road, 4 years down the road now, we're seeing a massive influx of side effects that are still causing debilitating issues in people. And so, yeah, now that RFK Jr.'s in there, man, I told you this on the last show. I said if he gets in there and he actually starts just chopping heads metaphorically right when he gets in there and he starts going after the RNA shots and the COVID shots and all the food additives, he's either going to do it when he gets in or he's just going to be pushed to the wayside. From what I've seen already, he's definitely he's on a rampage right now. And so I like to see this, and I really hope this stops with these COVID shots.
So okay, this is good. It was my understanding, because you had mentioned, of course, the mRNA shots across the board, even for Well, for animals and
right.
and for other reasons, it was my understanding that it was going to be broad enough, this initiative by RFK Jr., to stop yep. all of that. Now, again, I don't know. I haven't seen the text of any proffered documents. So
the theory about it, from what I've read today, the theory about it is if they can cut, they can put a legitimate casual link between these RNA shots and severe debilitating side effects, it's going to pause RNA gene therapy research in human trials across the board. Because what it's going to do is it's going to set a precedent of saying, listen, RNA gene therapy has not had any significant long-term testing. The testing that we do have now in real-world studies from the last 3 to 4 years is showing this is a serious problem to the human body. It does not need to be used anymore until we have further research, which is going to pretty much revoke all emergency use for these RNA shots. Would it stop it for poultry and livestock? I don't know yet if it would be applicable for that. I hope it is. I hope it stops all that. Because the last thing I want to have is, you know, oh, well, by the way, it's emergency use authorization. Even organic chicken was mandated to get an RNA shot. That's probably going to be the next move that they were playing with this RNA vaccine from Moderna, is they're going to mandate all poultry, all beef start getting RNA vaccines, which, again, then you're going to be eating the meat. But to my knowledge, this is applying towards human usage of this COVID shot and RNA gene therapy. But again, this just came out today, so I'm going to be researching the heck out of this over the next week with RFK coming in like this.
I think we need to keep an eye on things on that and the broad nature, perhaps, of the rulings that come out of the RFK's Jr.'s research. So I'm hopeful with respect to that. But on the DOJ side of things, the very people who forced us to take these jabs, not vaccinations, but the jabs, forced mass mandates, forced all of this, these arbitrary things. We need some account. I mean, these people need to be arrested. They need to be put in jail. They need to be tried.
I was gonna say, at the very least, they need to be investigated and have indictments brought up on them, especially the lead individuals who the thing is, the people at the lower end that were following orders like, oh, this is a mandate, put this in place, and they didn't really know. That's going to be hard to tie those to it. But the individuals at the top with the FDA, with these pharmaceutical companies, with these other agency groups that were at the top that saw the research, that flat out lied to everyone and said this shot was safe and effective and stopped transmission. That was a 100% bold-faced lie. None of it was true. Well, you got to ask yourself the million-dollar question. What degree of, you know, legality do we have in the United States when you have an individual in an office that's in a position to mandate things to be forced onto people, and they're lying to everyone about what it does, how safe it is, and how effective it is, knowingly lying to everyone? And there's no recourse. There's no consequences of that. They could just do whatever they want, say whatever they want, mandate whatever they want. So I'm with you on it. A lot of these individuals at the top, and that's why, again, we already know why Fauci, the stinking cockroach rat, he got pardoned, because they knew that this stuff was going to come out eventually. And when it did, he was going to go down with the ship if he didn't have a pardon on this. That's why they took it all the way back to 2014, back when the gain of function research was started with the whole thing with COVID-19. So not surprising.
I happen to see RFK Jr. And I think this is several years old now, but I happen to see him on an interview and talking about kids, adults slowly dying, murdered by Merck HPV vaccine, in quotation marks. Okay, Gardasil. You and Ted were talking about Gardasil long before anyone else was.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy and the researcher, HPV expert, Dr. Diane Harper, explained that in the study for this so-called vaccine in 2007, there were no placebos used. There was no control group. Where there were whatever, if you want to call them placebos, the
placebo still had aluminum and adjuvants in it, so they still caused side effects.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a true control group. Both sides were having side effects. You got to remember, when you're doing clinical trials, you're not looking at individual people. You're looking at numbers. You're looking at X amount of side effects in each control group. So when you have a control group that's getting injected with aluminum and adjuvants, and they're getting side effects in the control group, then you have the group that's getting the HPV shot. They're getting side effects. The numbers wash on each other. You're not looking at it from an individual standpoint when you're going in basically to see if there is actual clinical evidence that this is causing problems. And Merck got sued. Back in 2016, this lawsuit started. This lawsuit was going on for almost a decade because Merck has been accused of fraud, negligence, and concealing the likelihood and severity of the adverse effects associated with Gardasil. This has been going on for a decade, Doug, and the trial went underway in January. Now, I just found out today, that trial, almost 10 years this is in the trial, been in the process, they now just got a continuance till September, and you're getting a whole new set of jurors changed again on this lawsuit because Merck is kicking the can down the road as long as they can. And that's the problem when this thing goes into the legal system with these pharmaceutical companies that have 500 attorneys on retainer all the time. They have their own entire law branch. They just make this thing go on perpetuity. DuPont did this with Teflon, what they did with the PFOAs. Yeah. They're still in litigation with DuPont lawsuits going back for decades. And so that's the problem that you're running into now. And that's why a lot of this stuff needs to be reformed, because these agencies shouldn't be able to get government grant money, money that they don't earn, they don't produce, they do nothing for, from taxpayer dollars. We give it to them, not voluntarily, against our will, I guess you could say. They make and manufacture a product that they know is not safe, and then they try to force everyone to take the said product that is not safe. Then when it find out it's not safe, they go, we didn't know. We have immunity. We have immunity from all harm because it's this vaccine that we can't be held accountable for it. You paid us to make it. We didn't know what was going on. It's a complete lie. They know exactly what's going in these shots. That's why they show so much fraud and negligence when they look at these clinical trials. The same exact thing happened with COVID shot. Same thing's happened with the MMR shot. It's systemic, and that's why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been blowing the lid off all this stuff for years, and that's why he's going after all of them now.
Man, he needs to. Yeah. I watched, in fact, the second hour, I'll play a CNN. There was a CNN clip, or a debate, I should say. I think it's like 10 minutes long between a well, forgive me. I don't have the names offhand. I do have it in my show notes, but just about the whole enrichment process. You know, it's hard to really comprehend how people can justify self enrichment by off of other people's misery and death. You know, it blows my mind. And the pharmaceutical companies, excuse me, are really 100% at fault. Yeah, that's
they are. They are. The fact that this has gone on this long now that we've seen the research, and that's why I tell so many people, if you were forced to get this shot, you know, make sure you're running the spike protein survival kit that we have. That natto
there you go.
And that N-acetylcysteine. I'm telling you that it actually works. I've talked to people who've got the shot, who've had issues with blood clots, who have issues with cardiovascular problems, and that product, those two products, are designed to help detoxify and also reduce heavy blood clots in the system. That's why we put together that spike protein survival kit, because there were a lot of people that were pretty much forced to get this COVID shot for fear of reprisal or being terminated or ostracized. And some people just had to go along with it. When you have a company that you work for 20, 25 years, and you're going to retire in 2 or 3 years, and they come to you and say, you're going to get an RNA gene therapy experimental shot. And you go, but I don't want that. You're going to get it, or you're going to be terminated. Lose all benefits, lose your pension, lose your retirement. You'll have nothing, and we're going to terminate you because OSHA said so. So you want to get the shot? And they go, no, I still don't want to get a shot. Well, you're going to get the shot anyways. You're going to be escorted out with security today, and you will no longer get anything from this company. And you go, but I have kids. I have college that I'm paying for my kids. Like I have grandkids. Like, what am I supposed to do? You're going to get the shot, and you're going to like it. And they go, oh, shit, okay, let me get it. And then they're having all these side effects, and they're going, why did you do this to me? And the organizations are going, oh, because we were told to do so. We were told that we had to mandate it. And so sorry for your loss. Better luck next time. the depravity that was associated when you actually think of what was going on with these agencies and with OSHA and the CDC and the pharmaceutical companies and how they all colluded together to push this shot on the people when they knew it caused these side effects and harm and blood clots and myocarditis and pericarditis and severe side effects with this blood system. And they knew it and they forced it. God, dude, there's a special place in hell for these guys. I'll be honest.
Amen. And now, early on, there was a lot of really misinformation on their side. So some of the most earliest of people who got the injection, I don't blame as much as I do.
Well, no, they're flat lied to.
Right. I mean, there were some pretty convincing lies. Now, look, I'm a big proponent of, you know what? You own what you do. In other words, if you decided to take an injection, that's on you, regardless of the, but if I don't, this is going to happen. So you're responsible for your own actions. Okay. So I have no problem with that. And I hold the same standard for myself. But as time went on, the veil came down. And I think that a lot of people were realizing, hey, wait a second. There are problems out the ass but with these jabs. And this is something that I ran into today. Dr. Christine Northrup, in April of 2021, when they were rolling out the slab jabs, the shots, there was a group of doctors, the original disinformation dozen. If you remember that, they came out with a pamphlet, 12 doctors responsible for 70% of the disinformation. Of course, Nina Jankowicz would have something to say about that, but that aside, but they were noticing that you didn't have to take the injection. Here's the thing. That spike, Eric the Tech, can you put that spike support up there again? Because, folks, even if you didn't take the jab, this group was noticing that for instance, some women who were in a group of people, let's say in an office setting or spending any bit of time together, and in some cases, merely having casual, not intimate, but physical contact with a jabbed person, their menstrual cycles were 100% off. I mean, they were bleeding. I'm talking about women as old as 90 and children as young as 2 and 3, if female, biological females, who were vaginally bleeding by being in the presence of the injected. Okay, so, and this is documented. So, folks, that spike support, you need that even if you did not get the jab. I'm telling you, our family takes it. What better insurance can you have? And this is a sales pitch because it's happening today as well.
Still out there. People are still getting a shot. And the thing with the spike protein is the research started coming out more and more was that this stuff wasn't going away. Everything they told us about the shot was a lie, that it basically stayed at the site and the injection site, basically didn't cause any side effects. It was going to make you immune from COVID. You couldn't spread COVID. Then they start saying, remember they first got everybody, if you take the shot, you no longer have to wear the mask. If you don't get the shot, you have to wear your mask like a dog, like a peasant. But if you get the shot, you're okay. You can do what you want. 4 weeks later, sorry, you took the shot. You got to wear a mask still because, flatten the curve 2 weeks, boys. We know what we're doing with this. And stay 6 feet away from everyone. And, put 3 masks on, actually, and shut your business down. And don't talk to anyone. And make sure you do anything and everything the government tells you because the government's always right. And, I mean, the lies just never stopped. And that's why I think now so many people are so distrusting of everything the government, as we should be. And so that's why, I mean, I saw the thing the other day, and as RFK's talking about tackling children's health, because children's health in the United States is something that's so unprecedentedly bad compared to the rest of the country and the rest of the world that people don't understand. I was looking at the numbers here earlier, and it said in America, 74% of adults are now overweight or obese, and 50% of children are now overweight or obese. They said in August 2024, 120 years ago, Kennedy said in August 2024, when someone was obese, they were basically like sent to the circus. They were like a clown. They were, I mean, I'm not picking on them, but they were like, you know, 400 or 500 pounds. Like they went, people, they were a spectacle. Now it's like the new normal. That's, they're trying to make sure everybody's, you know, good and fat and obese for no reason because they're sicker and they stay in the medical industrial complex longer. In Japan, the childhood obesity rate is 3%. 3%. Yeah. United States, 50%. Why? Because the food that we're shoving in this kid's mouth every single day that's loaded with the high fructose corn syrup, the monodiglycerides, the hydrogenated oil, the food coloring, all this stuff is designed to cause more and more health problems. And so what he's really going to do now is open everybody's eyes and start making, you know, because it's funny. You have, like, on the back of alcohol bottles, you have warning about drinking if you're pregnant. On cigarettes, they have warning about smoking can cause cancer. Yep. Even on pharmaceuticals, they got black box warnings. This product can cause suicidal thoughts or behaviors. Yet you have food products that have literally, if you understand this, some of the most toxic compounds known to man that human beings can be exposed to, and they have them in bright little colored boxes with children's animals on the front of them saying how good and yummy they taste while they're loaded with enough chemicals to kill small animals in high enough content. And they're giving it to kids on a daily basis, and then they're saying, we don't know why this is happening. Why is childhood obesity through the roof? Why is childhood diabetes through the roof? Why are we having some of the worst issues as far as with childhood health in the entire world? Well, there's a reason why. And so, again, this is why it's so important, my friends. Make sure you're watching your children's diet. They don't have to eat like a monk. They don't have to eat, you know, chicken and rice every day like I do. That's not – kids don't like that. I get it. Sometimes they want to have some organic ice cream or they want to get a burger. I get it. But adding this stuff and having it in their diet every single day, all day, is going to cause severe long-term health problems. And we're seeing it now rear its ugly head after 20 to 30 years of these toxins really being prevalent since the 80s and 90s. And they're seeing it in these children's diet. And that's why I tell people, you cut the food coloring out of the kids' diet, throw them on the children's cod liver oil and the children's Ultimate Multiple, you will be shocked how much better they start acting, responding, learning, their behavioral, everything will start to change. If you cut these toxins out and you add in some good omega-3s with the Ultimate Multiple Chewable, just two products, back to school, the back to school kids program that I put together, that protocol, there's two products on sale. I have had hundreds of parents, not exaggerating, come to me later on. They go, dude, I cut the cereal out of my kids' breakfast in the morning, and I now give them eggs and oatmeal. I've cut a lot of the certain sugars out, and sweet drinks and sodas out of their diet, and now I'm giving them omega-3 fats and the chewable. And it's incredible how much healthier they are. They don't get sick. They don't get ear infections anymore. They're not constantly having to be kept out of school because they got a runny nose. They're actually behaving. They're still wild, and they do things. They're kids, but they actually listen for a majority of the time. They're actually not getting in trouble. They're learning. Their grades are going up. It's the same thing I hear every single time. So clearly it's a problem and those things work. And that's why I encourage everyone to really make sure you're getting ahead of this. Because I've talked about it for the last 10, 20 years. Ted's talked about it for longer than that. Now RFK Jr. is finally talking about it and people are finally listening. It's time Americans take responsibility for our health and stop handing it off to the pharmaceuticals and the doctors and saying, I have a problem, fix me. I don't want to be responsible for anything I do. You make it better. That's not a mantra of a successful person in any case or form, Doug, at all. So it's time to tighten up.
Man, I'll tell you what, you said it right there, brother. That's 100%. Absolutely. And folks, we have to act and be responsible for that, not just for ourselves, but for our children, obviously. And you know what? We need to look, I think we need to prepare for what is coming. And Austin, we haven't talked really at all. I'm just seeing. So I have an uneasy feeling about where things are headed right now. Even look, I'm optimistic about a lot of cleanup being done and cleaning up being done. But I'm telling you, with these non-organic protests and this increase of rhetoric against the favorable actions for the taxpayers by the Trump administration, by Musk even. Okay, I'm good with that. But the left, the globalists, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, seem to be digging their heels in and riling up the peasant level people. And again, that's not meant to be disparaging, but the lower level people a little bit more than usual. So I'm kind of looking and saying, you know, what's going to happen? And is there going to be some sort of civil war breaking out? And I'm telling you, I can feel it. There's something like that. Maybe it's not going to be called a civil war. Maybe it's just going to be uprisings everywhere. I don't know. Riots everywhere. But something's coming.
There's some weird stuff happening. The thing about it is right now, a lot of these rats are abandoning ship. All this money is starting to slowly dry up, even though when you're talking about multi-trillion-dollar budget, we've cut out, I think, $55 billion so far. I mean, that's pennies in the bucket in reality. That's a lot of freaking money, $55 billion. The amount of waste and the amount of fraud and the amount of deception and money laundering, from what I'm seeing and the people that I'm talking to now that are basically in the know that have connections – the level of money laundering and fraud is, I think, it's even beyond what we even currently understand right now. What we saw was the Social Security program. Social Security wasn't running out. They were just stealing all the money. When you have hundreds of thousands of people and millions of people on a list that are still listed as collecting checks that are 150 years old, and this money's just being dispersed out and nobody's checking anything, you've got these groups that we now find out with BLM and Antifa that they were fully funded and backed by UCITS funds and other groups that were transferring the money and running it from one shell company to another LLC to another one. Once this money starts tightening up, you're right. A lot of these groups are going to start getting very militant because essentially for the last about 5 to 10 years, they've been living pretty high on the hog. A lot of people thought this was going to go on. And you start realizing how much cash was injected into these groups. And like you said, they weren't organic. I told that from the very beginning with COVID, when BLM and Antifa started rioting, these guys were running around. They're all organized. They got all this gear. And then suddenly there'd be pallets of bricks. They were just randomly dropped off by ACME on a sidewalk right where a protest was going to be starting. Bricks didn't even match anything in the area, vicinity, or buildings or construction sites. Heck, there weren't even construction going on. Pallet of bricks dropped off. Like, clearly there was stuff going on behind the scenes to make more issues and more problems and more violence happen. And who's paying for it? Same thing now. I've had multiple people tell me this across the country, even down here in Florida. I haven't seen chemtrails in like a week and a half. Florida usually gets checkerboarded all the time. Now, I'm sure there's probably some other stuff going on, but chemtrails have slowed way down. Where was all that money coming from? We're talking about these giant jets that are $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 an hour to operate with everything going on with them. Now, all of a sudden, certain funds aren't hitting. Certain contractors aren't getting paid. They're not going to fly. And so this stuff will have side effects. But at the end of the day, it just means we got to tighten up and we got to be more responsible for ourselves as well. That's the thing that everybody has to understand. We can't just play it off and kick the can down the road and pretend Trump's going to be the savior of everyone. We all have to start getting actively involved, local, state, city, family, everywhere around. Everybody's got to start getting resilient, getting in shape, getting your cardiovascular better, getting your diet better, getting your mental health better, making sure you're staying educated on topics. Because one thing that we found, and you brought that up with the 12 doctors, those frontline doctors.
Yep.
The left and the mainstream media hates the truth. They hate it. They don't ever speak the truth. Nothing out of their mouth is anything other than deceptions, manipulation, and lie. It's designed to make you think, feel, and act a certain way, period. It's called psychological warfare. That's what the mainstream media has done. If you don't understand it, do some research on it before you send me an email and argue with me on it. They can't stand anybody talking about the truth. That's why we do what we do on our show. That's why you do what you do on your show, Doug. That's why I thank everybody, all of our listeners. Thank you for supporting these shows and forwarding them and getting them out there, because the truth will set you free. And the more educated you become on topics, the better and more resilient you are to stand firm on it when lies come your way and people start telling you, you've got to do this. It's a mandate. I still remember the first times I ever walked into Lowe's when the mask mandate came out. And I walked in. You can't walk in. You got to put this arm out. Stop. I literally walked right around and I was like, okay, have a nice day. He goes, you have to wear a mask. I said, I don't have to do anything. And he goes, it's a CDC mandate. And I'm like, are you
so friggin' what? You know,
a mandate of, are you talking to me right now? I just kept walking. And so again, you have to start understanding what happened then, and they're going to use the same playbook. And I think this bird flu thing is probably going to be one of the big plays that they use to try to dislodge the momentum we're getting with getting the truth out there. So, because think about it. They want to cover up everything that's going on right now. If they can go and start another COVID 2.0 or bird flu, as they call it, and start a massive pandemic again, allegedly, with another engineered bioweapon, it's going to pull everything out of the media and all the focus of what's going on and how much corruption and fraud is there. It's going to pull it all, and the mainstream media is going to focus on the same thing every day like they did for 2 years with COVID. All day, every day, Doug.
So correct me if I'm wrong here. The H5N1 virus never had there was no history or historical record of that hopping species, right?
None. Zero.
Okay. So now you have people like Peter Daszak, you have NIH, NIAID, Eco Health Alliance, all of these other places screwing around with these viruses.
Yep.
And the Communist Chinese Party over in Wuhan, other places throughout Ukraine as well, weaponizing viruses. Yep. Now we have H5N1 that's hopping species into man, from cattle to man recently. So are you thinking, are you saying that, look, we're going to have this outbreak of bird flu, and that's going to necessitate this, these lockdowns, at least in their mind, or that's the trope they're going to use. Is that going to happen? Or maybe measles. What about measles? We're hearing a lot about that lately. What the
measles
hell?
Is one of those things. Unless they really weaponize measles, it's going to be a hard one to really get to stick as far as to make it as a bioweapon. A lot of people have had measles. I had measles when I was younger. A lot of people are immune to measles. So unless they modify it and turn it into a bioweapon, it's going to be hard. I don't think that's the play with it. My theory, and again, this is my speculation, if I was in their playbook, that what I think is happening right now, this is just my personal opinion and speculation, so don't write me on it and say this didn't happen in a month or a week. I think what they're doing right now, this is the early testing phase of what they're doing with the H5N1, and they're modifying it personally. That's what I think they're doing. I think they're going in and testing it in these animals. They're seeing how to get it to modify, and they're basically tweaking it. Second thing they're doing is they're wiping out an enormous portion of the food population that keeps people healthy. Everybody knows the research now. Grass-fed beef, organic eggs, those are some of the most healthiest meats and proteins you can eat to stay strong, to keep your liver strong. Eggs are the best food. We talked about on the show the other day, and yet suddenly they're being wiped out. Cows wiped out. All these food things are being wiped out. Well, when you have a giant country, when we have a livestock and poultry and cattle business that's enormous in the United States, you don't just shut that down in a day or a week or a month or a year. It takes an enormous amount of effort to shut that down, and I think that's what's been in the process for the last 2 to 3 years now. As we've seen, I think they said like 55 million poultry have been like culled in the last 2 years. And so it would make sense from a globalist piece of crap standpoint to start doing this to get the food population low, to bring in a weaponized H5N1, to start having a COVID 2.0, and then basically have a vaccine that's already available. Why do we spend $590 million on a Moderna grant to build an RNA COVID or RNA H5N1 vaccine? Why is that already in the pipeline being manufactured? See, they had to get it produced and everything deployed with it last time with COVID. It took too long. Too many people started waking up. They want to have this thing right out the gate. As soon as people start allegedly dying from it, they want to be able to roll it out immediately and say, hey, guess what? We were in front of the curve on this one. We did good. We learned from COVID. We already have a vaccine that's safe and effective, and it's been tested rigorously for the last 2 years for your safety, because we love you and we want you to be healthy. Oh, yeah, by the way, make sure everybody gets a shot so we kill them all. That's essentially what they're doing, and that's what I think is going on with this H5N1. Too many things are starting to lay out way too much in line like COVID now, and they're almost running systemically at the exact same way they did last time. Again, My speculation, don't have a timeline, but it very much appears like this is a bioweapon experiment that they're working on and wiping out the food supply at the same time.
Man,
and a long, long answer.
And a necessary answer, because when you look at the really the events, okay, and that makes sense. And I think we need to prepare accordingly, folks. I really do. And by prepare, I mean, you know, make sure you have food available. Make sure you have your medicines available. Make sure you have your supplements. And that's the other thing you can do too, is make yourself healthy again, taking responsibility and taking, Health Masters supplements. You know, you can go to Walmart and get, a multivitamin that's, maybe a third of the price of Health Masters, probably, right? But it's sawdust and shellac. Okay.
Exactly.
You're right. So if you're going to invest any money, do it through Health Masters for supplements. I'm just telling you, their operation is really, to me, second to none. The products are fantastic. At least I can measure the response, or I can measure the effectiveness based on the response I get. And the response I've gotten from Health Masters products is absolutely out there. I mean, 100% up there. So, folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com. That's teamhealthmasters.com, and go shopping. And especially that spike support. Man, that is, to me, I don't know. That's been on my mind. A very disturbing video of, I think it was Dr. Northrup, very disturbing video that I've seen, that if I can grab it, we'll play it. It's just about the women and about not even having to get the injection. And then there was another disturbing video, and we've talked about this woman before, Regina Dugan from DARPA. I don't know how many people know that name, remember the name. Chat, does that name sound familiar? This was maybe a year or two ago, where she showed off a tattoo on her arm and was talking about pills that have authentication devices in them. Yep. I mean, microscopic kind of stuff, but it turns your whole body into essentially a, what would you call it? A transmitter, I suppose, or an authentication device.
That's exactly what
device.
It turns it into. And this is I should have emailed the link on it. You can see it right here. This is a new study that just came out now, where they're talking about a new bill. Congressman introduces bill that will allow AI to replace your doctor and administer prescription and normalize wearables. I talked this in detail a year and a half ago about wearables and what they're doing as far as transmitting your data, what you do, where you go, how your body reacts, what raises your heart rate. People don't understand this. This is going to creep you guys out for a minute. So don't freak out. Don't put a tinfoil hat on my head. I'm telling you right now, I've talked to guys in these agencies that will confirm this. What they have done now in linking wearables, tying into your iPhone, spying on you and monitoring you and doing all these different things. For example, okay, you got your little wrist watch on, those little weird things that people like to watch, the eye watches or the whatever, Fitbits. They monitor all your organs, your vitals. I can't stand it. I don't wear anything like that. I don't like anything actually on my body most of the time unless it's a watch, a real actual watch. They tie it in now. They've been able to tie this in when you have your little iPhone watch that monitors your blood pressure, your heart rate, and a whole host of other things, timeline. It ties in with your iPhone, right? Of course. It ties in with your iPhone. What does your iPhone also have on it? Cameras. Also has microphones. When you're on social media platforms and you're looking at certain social medias, whether it be photos, whether you're scrolling, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Snapchat or whatever, gay craps on these phones now all the time that I don't recommend anybody uses, it also ties in with your heart rate. So when you're looking at certain posts, all of a sudden your heart rate goes up because you're aroused, or your heart rate goes up because you're mad or you get excited. It's all being monitored and transmitted and data logged and sold to third parties. They're literally building an entire data log case on every single person in existence. Nobody believes me on this until they start doing their research, and it's creepy. The microphones on these phones listen to every conversation you have. That's why people joke around now. They'll make a comment like, oh, I need to go get new table and chairs for my house. Suddenly they open up an app and there's all these ads for tables and chairs at every single store in the vicinity. They're doing all this to monitor you. The next thing they want to start doing is being able to use these essentially chipped drugs. So the drugs actually send out a transmission and they can tell when you've taken them, and they monitor with your wearables, they monitor with your phone, and they literally can understand everything about you, what you think, where, how you feel, where you go, how you act, what turns you on, what turns you off, what makes you mad, what makes you sad. That's where they're going with this. And that's just the beginning phase. Neuralink takes it to a whole nother level when they implement that. So understand, This isn't a joke. This is real stuff. It's happening. Decide how much you want to put into it. How much do you want your privacy and your personal information given out? That's the only thing. And I was going to say this, Doug. I was talking about this to Ted earlier on the show with what's going on with this blitzkrieg with Elon Musk. And he's getting access. Now he's getting access to IRS. They're getting access to bank accounts, numbers, account numbers, you know, Social Security. They're getting access to all this. Now, apparently, it's supposed to be very secure. My only question is, this is just me talking on both sides of the aisle. Is it a little bit concerning to some people that all this information is now being accessed unbelievably fast with very little oversight from one agency like DOGE that also is involved heavily with AI funding and also Neuralinks? Is this information going to get linked and tied in with some of this stuff? Are some of these guys all good with the DOGE team? Are they going to be accessing this and harvesting this information and saving it? I don't know, but that is something to me that's a little concerning when you see these groups that are involved with this right now also are super, super pro AI and pro wearables and pro Neuralink and all these things together. Just think it can also go on both sides of the aisle. If they're doing it now, what happens in 4 years? Are you going to have a hardcore leftist, Marxist, communist, Democrat get elected in 4 years? Are they going to be able to go in and access this information and go back? I don't know, but what's being tied in with wearables and information and AI and just this predictive programming, it's getting a little creepy. Just going to put it out there. Do that with the information, with what you want.
You know, that is a fabulous, I guess it would be a question, you know.
Yeah, it's what it is. I don't know. I'm speculating, but it's more of a question to me.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? I have mixed emotions, to be honest with you, about it.
And what's to say the people in there before DOGE goes in and attempts to cleans house or whatever appears to clean house? Who's to say those people weren't compromised to some extent?
Exactly.
Can you hang with me? Eric the Tech, there's video 3 I sent you. Do you have it? Can you cue that up?
I'm here for the party, bro. I don't know. I'm not going nowhere.
All right.
I'm not leaving.
great movie, actually. Wild movie indeed. I'm not effing leaving.
I'm not leaving.
Oh man, yeah, that was a wild movie. What got me was the scene with that. What kind of car did he have? I don't know.
Was Lamborghini Countach.
Okay, when he thought he drove it home and realized that
he makes it home, the cops show up next day and the car's totaled.
The lemons
got him.
I don't know why that just cracked me up, but it did. And his friend cracked me up too. I just have a weird twisted sense of humor, but
what the crazy part about it was is how perverted that whole entire group was, and the fact that it was actually based on a true story. It wasn't like they actually were like that. It's bizarre.
I believe it or not, and I've said this before. I actually was out on Long Island. I interviewed a man who was married. Well, who at the time was married and passed away to Laura Branigan, who was living on Long Island. Laura Branigan, the singer. So, went out and interviewed her husband, or talked to her husband, who was an attorney who tangentially was involved in the, in that whole, really the basis of that movie. Okay. So at any rate, it was a weird time in my life, but, you know, to be face to face with Laura Branigan, it just blew my mind. Anyway.
That's funny. Yeah. You spent $26,000 on one dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the sides. It was $26,000 sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I have to have nothing but white on my plate. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric the Tech, do you have a video three ready? Did you get it? Okay, cool.
Send it.
Yeah. Okay. Watch this, folks. To me, this is Regina Dugan. Okay. This is important. I really believe this. And this is exactly what Austin was talking about. And this is exactly what we're facing right now. And something that all of us individually are going to be faced with, I believe, in the short term. Here it is.
A researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm. This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20 year olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right? Because
sure.
They would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options, right? Options. And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here,
sounds
I'll
like a great
it.
Idea.
Would you like to hold it?
Wow,
hold
bro.
It.
Okay. So this...
You guys see it?
This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte, and they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit ECG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true. So what this means is that that becomes my first superpower. I really want this superpower. It means that my arms are like wires, my hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my door, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that. So here's the thing. This is not science fiction. This pill was actually made by a company called Proteus, and they've developed it for medical applications. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. You can take 30 of those per day for the rest of your life.
And then what happens? Does your heart
nothing
beat change? Does your
we can just tell that you've taken the pill.
Does Google now know everything I do and every?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Exactly as you laid it out.
People, told you guys I wasn't making it up. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm really not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many people are going to line up for that? You know what I mean?
A lot. The younger generation, as lazy and pathetic as they are, they're going to do it because they don't want to go through the arduous task of pulling their keys out or typing in even a code into their lockbox or being able to actually go through the horrible energy of pulling your phone and checking it or looking at your wrist. They want everything to be done. They want to go, she said it, unlock your car door.
Yeah.
Charge a card. You walk up, boom, scan your card. There's not a card. They attach your card to your wrist. Everything you do is going to be monitored. And if you think that information isn't going to be sold, you think that information is going to be targeted and marketed towards you, if you think that stuff isn't going to have side effects, contraire, every single thing they want to learn about you, that way they can target you, they can control you, and they can manipulate you. So again,
100%.
Wasn't science fiction. I'm glad you had that article there. I've seen that video before, and that's why I've researched this for years on what it's doing with it and how they want to tie all this thing in to the Internet of Things. Because remember, at the end of the day, how do you get every thought of every man to be evil all the time like it was in Genesis, right? You've got to pollute the body. You've got to pollute the mind, continually and incessantly pollute it. The only way to do that is as we continually barrage with negativity. They want to be able to control this. And the next thing that they're going to roll out, they've already talked about this, is the 6G. The 6G holographic, basically, system. You can actually look and see your phone. You basically put like a contact in your eye. and it ties in to your chip, and you can actually go through your phone and scroll your phone and download information and look at it without actually holding and looking at your phone. Again, not science fiction. That technology is already there and having it embedded in your body to control it. They want to turn everybody into a freaking robot like the Matrix.
Man, again. Okay, so with 5G, 6G, 3, 4G, you're talking about frequency. Are we not? Yep. I mean, at least in part. So
yes.
Frequency, if you could, if there are videos, folks, you can watch for yourself what frequency does to water, how it shapes water, can make designs on water and such. But imagine the nanoparticles, and I don't know where I saw this, I can't cite or credit this, but imagine throwing a burrito filled with little bits of aluminum foil into your microwave. Okay.
Yep.
That's kind of what we're going to be, especially those people who got jabbed, I think, with the nano, with the metallic, what do you call it? Nanometals?
Nanoparticles.
Or, nanoparticles. Yeah, specifically yeah. Metals.
Well, the thing is, everybody's got a specific frequency. Everybody operates on a specific frequency. And so in theory, and this, again, is speculation, but I don't think it is. I think it's going to be realistic. You could actually go in and target people with specific frequency based on the 5G and 6G system. So if you've got nanoparticles or like what this lady was just talking about, these frequency vitamins and medications you can take, you could literally go in and cause people's frequency to be so disrupted they get cancer or they have a heart right. attack or they get extremely sick. Or they get nauseous. That's we saw that with the 5G directed energy weapons that operate in the 95 hertz, the same that the 5G internet towers do. That's old technology from the 90s with directed energy weapons and active denial systems. So if they could do that back then just with that basic stuff in the 90s, what are they doing now with this crap and basically going after people? Because at the end of the day, it's all about control and manipulation. You got to understand that everybody really has to grasp that concept. It's about control and manipulation. If you can take yourself out of that box and not be controlled and not be manipulated, at least as much as possible, you're already one step ahead of the curve and basically fighting for freedom and truth. It's at least my take on it, Doug.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. That's absolutely incredible. When you think about what is already here, we talked about this years before, but now it's here, and the bulk of things are here. It's just amazing to me to see this happen in real time and where this is going to go. If you want, I'm going to give you the option because I don't know if you have to bounce or what, but I've got a series of about six. Actually, it's a thread from X or formerly Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's by the Vigilant Fox. And Kelly Means, who appeared as a guest on CNN, was facing off with Dr. Paul Offit. And Pamela Brown was the interviewer, but there's some interesting exchanges dealing with the stuff you and I were talking about at the beginning and throughout the first segment of the show. You want to hang with me for a couple of these?
I'm here, man. I'm here for it.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to impose upon your time. I didn't know what your constraints are, but Eric the Tick, if you can open the Vigilant Fox thread and we can go through this. This is comprised of six video snippets. This was just on CNN. And remember, Paul Offit, was part of the, and essentially still is part of the federal government and the pharmaceutical complex. He was taking millions of dollars from the pharmaceutical makers like Merck while approving and recommending pharmaceuticals on ACIP committees. Now, He said that science is always settled when he himself has approved vaccines that have been recalled.
Yeah.
You know, but the vaccines he approved and said were fine have been recalled for causing organ failure in children. And he was talking about measles, too, where there were 300 deaths from measles a year before the invention of the vaccine. We have 38% of children right now with prediabetes. Robert F. Kennedy's focused, Jr. is focused on that. He's focused on reorganizing the department, and that's what we should be talking about, according to Means. But here's the first clip, and I thought this was absolutely astounding. And Eric the Tech, can you go ahead and run the first clip? It's going to be right below that is the first clip, and it's 51 seconds in length. Below that is a series of paragraph, and then underneath the paragraph is the video. So go ahead and run that 51-second clip.
Trust in public health? No, it's the public health leaders themselves. It's people defending with the record that's happening to health at HHS why cuts are bad. Of course we should make cuts. Of course the personnel should be changed. What's causing distrust in public health authorities is conflict of interest, like Dr. Offit taking millions of dollars from pharmaceutical makers like Merck while approving and recommending pharmaceuticals on ACIP committees. It's the fact that Dr. Offit's saying that science is always settled when he himself has approved vaccines that have been recalled for causing organ failure for kids. And it's the fact that Dr. Offit is talking about measles, which is important. And I want to be clear, Pamela, I don't want to get this out. It's important. But there were 300 deaths from measles a year before the invention of the vaccine. We have 38% of children right now having prediabetes. Bobby is focused on that. He's focused on reorganizing the department. Mm-hmm. And that's what we should be talking about, not this distraction. Trust in public.
Okay, one more. Do you have any comment on that segment?
He's 100% right. It's like what you talked about with measles earlier. You know, measles deaths was very, very low ever before the inception of the measles vaccine. Now they come out and say, well, if we don't do the measles vaccine, all these kids are going to come down with measles. Well, guess what? I had the measles. I'm still alive. I mean, I'm a little weird, but I'm still here. And so they want to bring these topics up and ignore the fact, like you just said, 38% of children now have prediabetes. Yes, this is what's causing issues with these shots. It's causing issues with the food supply and high fructose corn syrup is one of the biggest culprits that causes that. So I like he's talking about that.
Okay, now here's Offit. Here's his response. I believe this is his response. This next video in this thread. I found this extremely insulting, really, to me and to the public. This, again, part of the same thread, Eric the Tech, would be the next video. I don't know if you're able to do that with a broadcast. Oh, yeah, you are. Again, here's Offit's response. This is just about a minute and a half. Here it is.
You made a lot of claims there. I want you to respond to that. And we should note you are a member of the FDA Vaccine Advisory Committee, and you recently told CNN that RFK Jr. will hurt America's vaccine infrastructure. So please respond to that and tell us what
you mean. I hope we can disclose his millions of dollars of pharmaceutical payments while serving in that committee.
Okay, Dr. Offit, please go ahead and respond.
Well, first of all, you're not allowed to serve on the FDA's Vaccine Advisory Committee if you have a relationship with a pharmaceutical company. And so because I don't have a relationship with a pharmaceutical company, I'm able to serve on that committee. Secondly, and most importantly, actually, the things that Callie talks about, I actually agree with in some ways. I think that we are, for example, more obese as a country than we should be, and that the consequences of obesity like hypertension and type 2 diabetes, I think we do have, in many ways, more chronic illnesses. I think we over-medicate our children. I think there's many things we can do better. I actually wrote a book called Overkill: When Modern Medicine Goes Too Far. So I agree with all that. What I don't agree with is that in any way vaccines are harmful, as RFK Jr. says. I mean, RFK Jr. continues to claim that vaccines cause autism when they don't. He's now made childhood vaccines a major target of this administration. And that's only going to be to the detriment of children.
Hold on. No, Callie, I have to let Dr. Offit speak. This has to be a civil, respectful conversation in order for this to work and for Americans, viewers, to soak this up. So I want to let Dr. Offit finish, and then I'll go to you, Callie, I promise. Go ahead, Dr. Offit.
So, Austin, your thoughts, your response on that?
Dr. Offit is a very, very good psychological manipulator. You notice what he did there. He first off basically came off with a rebuttal saying he can't have any interest in it as far as if he has a relationship with them. That's a complete lie because he does. It's been documented. Secondly, he then agrees with Callie and goes, you're right. We have an issue with diabetes. I agree with you on this. He placates him to keep the subject going. And he goes, well, I disagree that vaccines have any health problems whatsoever. That, again, is a complete and total documented lie. Mainstream media loves to lie. They love to manipulate. We have seen enough research now knowing that these shots have significant side effects. Look at the VAERS reporting system. It's documented. If we have no side effects from shots, why do we have the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund that's doled out billions of dollars in compensation to individuals, including children, who have been severely injured from vaccines?
Right. Good point.
Why is that even existence then if there's no problems with them?
Right. No, there would not be one. And you know, it's interesting how... Well, you know, if I was profiting, I couldn't hold that position. Well, to give you an example how they dance around the truth, Offit holds a $1.5 million research chair at Children's Hospital, which is funded by Merck. He holds the patent on this one specific drug called Rotatec. It's an anti-diarrheal medication that he developed with Merck. Now, his royalties for the vaccine were just sold for $182 million cash.
What was
his share? We don't know because that's not disclosed. But that so him saying, well, you know, I don't make money directly or in that. Yeah, you do. It's just not the way people would normally understand it.
No, so with guys like that that are very good manipulators, he's tiptoes through the tulips. Oh, yeah. No, I don't do that. I can't do that. I am a good person. I would never have a relationship with them whatsoever. It's a total lie. You can look up all the documents if you just brought it up in detail. So, again, that's the issue that I have with these guys is they're such stinking liars and sociopaths. They know these products are causing health issues. They know these vaccines are causing health problems. They know the autism rate is going through the roof the longer we keep injecting more and more and more shots at an early, early age. And yet they continue to lie to everyone. Bold-faced because they know this is part of the agenda in keeping the medical industrial complex fed. Healthy kids don't go to the doctor. Newsflash, healthy kids don't need to continually be put on prescription drugs. Healthy kids don't have to have their tonsils and adenoids removed because they're so inflamed from the adjuvants that have been injected in them in the last 2 to 3 years. Healthy kids don't make pediatricians money, period. They don't make the money. That's why they want them to stay in the complex and stay sick. Sad as it is, it's the reality of it. It's just got to be talked about, and people need to have an open discussion with it, Doug.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when I don't even think I had a pediatrician. I had a family doctor. The family doctor came to – actually made house calls. I think they were $12 a house call. And I remember laying on the living room couch. The doctor walked in, gave me a shot in the backside. And said, yeah, he'll be better. And my dad paying him $12 cash. And they sat around, and the doctor and my father had a smoke together. They talked about certain things, and the doctor left.
That's how it was back then, though.
Simple as that, yeah. But okay, so you mentioned some other things, too, including autism. What I found interesting, we're at like 1 in 36 kids have autism, which I think, 10 years ago was 1 in 1,000? I mean, it was just, this is just blowing
my
mind.
The number's growing exponentially. The rate is growing exponentially now, faster than anybody can even comprehend. And we're going, why is this happening? It's the glyphosate, the food supply, it's the vaccines, it's the adjuvants, it's the doggone additives and the compounds in the food. It's all a culminating series of products and events that are causing more and more health problems. That's what's causing it.
Indeed. Okay, so now often in the same interview, there was a conversation about autism. And it's interesting because here's Offit, who should, based on his studies, know the cause for autism. So in this minute, just over a minute clip, this is Offit saying, hey, I don't know what, I don't know nothing. A lot of interesting theories, but whatever, I don't know. But one thing I do know, the one thing that doesn't cause autism are the vaccines.
Yeah, there
you go. Okay. But to hear it in his own words, here's the third clip of this thread. Here it is.
What I don't agree with is that in any way vaccines are harmful, as RFK Jr. says. I mean, RFK Jr. continues to claim that vaccines cause autism when they don't. He's now made childhood vaccines a major target of this administration. And that's only going to be to the detriment of children.
Hold on. No, Callie, I have to let Dr. Offit speak. This has to be a civil, respectful conversation in order for this to work and for Americans, viewers to soak this up. So I want to let Dr. Offit finish, and then I'll go to you, Callie, I promise. Go ahead, Dr. Offit.
No, so I think that when, for example, he says we have more chronic diseases in children than ever before, he says that the incidence is 1 in 36. Well, that's the incidence of autism spectrum disorder. There's a lot of interesting causes of autism spectrum disorder, like the infant microbiome or genetic or medicines that women or pregnant people can take during their pregnancy. That's interesting. But by focusing on childhood vaccines, he's focusing on the one thing that doesn't cause autism. And so vaccines, I think, are really the safest, best tested things that we give to children. And that's what is making America healthy again. And I think to focus on vaccines as a target and claim that they're causing harms when they're not is only a detriment to America's children.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother. Unload. I mean,
dude. I just want to smack him in the face, dude. I mean, he's sitting there bold faced. The one thing that does not cause autism, has no link to autism, is vaccines. Of course, everybody knows that. If you don't believe that, then you're a science denier. It doesn't cause autism. You're stupid if you think that. Like, dude, where does he get the gall to come up with and make comments like that, dude, with a straight face?
The entirety of the interview was just, I mean, if I were Pamela Brown, the interviewer there, I would be embarrassed because how it came across was horrible.
And see, again, what he does is a very, very effective manipulator. He again agrees and says autism is 1 in 36. It is getting worse. It's the microbiome. It's the drugs that women are going to pregnant. And he's not wrong with that statement. Those are some key factors that can cause problems. But what is the root cause that is tying into those issues with inflammatory disorders, with microbiome disorders, with some of the drugs that may be presented to children in utero, which is a possible scenario in some cases. But then he goes, vaccines, not a question. No autism, cannot possibly be tied to autism in any way, shape, or form. Let's not address the fact that autism wasn't even a topic of discussion until 1986, when they started noticing that these issues were exploding on the children after the shot schedule came out by the CDC mandate in the 90s. Yeah. Why is that not being talked about? How is there no correlation between those two? And why is it? Why can't we all sit down and have a discussion? Why does everything always go to him where he goes, they cannot be a problem. They've never been a problem. They're safe and effective. There's no reason to even question it. What? That's the whole point of science, is to question everything.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll tell you what, you are 100% on the nose. Eric, if you want to queue up the next one, get ready for that one, because it's interesting because Austin was talking about about measles. And look, even though I think it's listed as like the most contagious disease, ever, so you have a very limited number, and the left is making everything about those outbreaks. So, there's that. Yeah. Which is just tremendous. But before we get to that, a couple of announcements. We blew past the top of the hour break. A couple of announcements very quickly. Tomorrow, of course, Steve Quayle will be on the program. It's going to be a fantastic program. Don't miss it. Second of all, I'm scheduled to be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. That's me scheduled for that on the 25th. I think it's Tuesday. So just want to pass that out there. Also, folks, if you have not done so, I would urge you, please, 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 please get your tickets for Wisconsin Christian News. That's April 4 and 5. It's a ministry conference. Pastor Arthur Pulaski is going to be there. I mean, heck, seriously. I've been getting information about this. It's going to blow the roof off of everything. Dr. Ted Brower is going to be there. Go figure. And look at that lineup. Coach Dave Dobmeier, who just energizes the room. And yes, Kamala Harris is going to be making an appearance. No, I'm kidding. I was trying to see who was paying attention. Okay. I was just.
She is going to need so much security if she showed up there.
Yeah. See, I was seeing if you were paying attention. Now, April 4 and 5, 2025, get your tickets. Tickets are going quickly. The attendance is limited. It's going to be a really nice. It's really going to be nice. I'm going to try to make it as a spectator, and maybe I'll have a table. I don't know. I'm going to try to. I've got a lot of things going on end of March, beginning of April. So, but if I can, it's going to be good to see Ted, of course, and Coach, and meet everyone else there, and meet you folks. But please go to Wisconsin Christian News and get your tickets. It's going to be a new venue this year. I think it's at the Hilton. I'm not sure, but it's a new venue. And you're going to be glad you went. That's Wisconsin Christian News, April 4 and 5, 2025. So there's that, including Ted Brower speaking there, which man, I'd pay the price of the ticket to see that, because it's going to be a
wild show.
It's going to be wild indeed. And if we could twist Austin's arm, that would be better. I'd have to go then.
I got like three different things around that time. I know. So I pretty much already told Ted. I was like, if I go, it's going to be a shotgun trip. It'd be last minute. Yeah. It's like my life, basically. I'm going to be like, hey, guess what? I'm going in the morning at 5 a.m. I'll see you there. So
I'm going to tell you what. Yeah, you and me both. We got like, the schedules are just crazy. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so 4 and 5 of April, make sure, folks, you go to Wisconsin Christian News and get the tickets. In fact, I'll put a link to that in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Okay, so all of those announcements, there you have it. And I should add that Randy Taylor is doing very well, and he'll be back soon. So he's thanking everyone for all the well wishes. His surgery he's healing up very nicely, and he'll be back, yes, on his feet again. And I say that deliberately, because I'm sure that at some point he'll be he'll be on both legs for sure. So he's a strong guy. He's a tough guy. So, but keep him and his family in your prayers. All right, the next video again, this is Pamela Brown, Dr. Paul Offit, and Casey Means. Casey Means was a former pharmaceutical lobbyist. He knows where the bodies are buried, so he knows what he's talking about. And Offit is just off his rocker. He's very disingenuous, I believe. That's just my...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. This is a little over a minute and a half. Here's the next video. Just check this out.
Is it now a time to promote vaccines, which, again, the CDC says safe and effective, that two doses are 90% effective against measles? Is it now a time to promote that, especially among children who are being impacted by measles in places like Texas and in these six states who are unvaccinated, according to health officials?
Pamela, with respect, why aren't you asking me about the fact that 50% of teens have obesity? Why aren't there are breathless
segments? I have other questions for you, but we're talking about this.
Day after day after day, Pamela, it's breathless coverage of five measles cases. Why aren't we asking why 16% of COVID deaths worldwide were Americans when we're only 4% of the world population? Because the CDC said our immune system. No, it is related, Pamela, and let me say why. Because the entire coverage of Bobby Kennedy is around measles. The Democrats said the word measles 25 times in the first hearing and said the words obesity, diabetes, and chronic disease zero time. The HHS priority document under President Biden said the word equity 25 times, said the word vaccines countless times, did not say the word obesity or diabetes. There is a problem right now because this is zero sum. We are focused on a very small subset that's important. We need good infectious disease management. Bobby Kennedy, Dr. Offit is not correct. Bobby Kennedy has said one thing about vaccines and one thing only, that they should be studied like any other product. Dr. Offit on the ACIP committee has recommended vaccines that have ended up being recalled for causing mass issues to kids. Yep. Bobby Kennedy has written multiple books, not about being anti-vax, but about having good science. And Dr. Offit is calling him anti-vaccine for literally just saying we need studies. Bobby Kennedy is not concerned with measles. He wants good policies with measles. He wants to attack the 92% of deaths in the United States, which is chronic conditions.
Spot on.
I was going to ask you, which are, spot on.
He's spot on. And what he's saying here is, and he started to get into it, he kind of didn't get all the way into it. One of the reasons why we're having more issues with infectious diseases and also to immune system responses and health problems, all these issues, is because the immune system of the children is severely compromised because of what's being A, injected into their body, also to what they're eating, what they're drinking. If you have a child, for example, they're strong, they're resilient, they eat really clean, they get a lot of sunshine, their D3 levels are great, they don't eat a bunch of crap, they don't have numerous adjuvants injected into them every 6 months, and they get exposed to something, their body fights it off. I've had one vaccine my entire life. One vaccine. Had tetanus shot. It's 12. That's it. Had measles when I was a kid. Perfectly fine. Chickenpox. Perfectly fine. I have three kids. Not one single of my kids has had a single vaccine injection. You know how times they get sick? They don't. Period. They stay on vitamin C. They stay on multivitamins, and they stay on liquid D3 pretty much all throughout the week. They eat organic eggs. They eat organic beef. They drink, you know, good high quality milk. They act outside all the time. They live outside in the tree forts and everything else.
Let me ask you, you have liquid D3.
Okay. I do have liquid D3, yes.
All right.
I have liquid D3, I have D3 soft gels, and I have D3 10,000 K2. The liquid D3 is the best for children, and you can put it in milk, or you can just give it to them, drop it right under their tongue, and that way you can keep a very good low dose, because young children don't need as high of a dose as adults, obviously. But so that's where he was going with this, is he's saying, if we start focusing on proper nutrition, proper nutrient intake like D3 and vitamin C, and we stop injecting these kids with an onslaught of toxins and we start eating clean, maybe these topics of obesity and diabetes and even some other infectious diseases may not be that much of an issue anymore, because we're addressing it at the root problem, not trying to go in and say, we are giving this new child, 6 months old, 7 injections at one time because, well, that's the standard of care by the CDC and that's what they say to do. How about we take a step back and say, this isn't working? Kids are getting sicker. They're having more problems. They're having tonsils taken out at a record pace. Why is that happening? Let's look at it and let's study it and figure out why this is occurring. That's what Bobby Kennedy's wanted to do, and he keeps talking about. And that's why Offit is such a piece of steaming trash, because he doesn't want anybody to have that topic brought up. He just wants to say, oh, no, Bobby Kennedy doesn't want a vaccine for anyone. He's anti-vax. Complete lie again.
Yeah, exactly. Real quick, I want to address someone in the chat, Myra Rain. I wasn't trying to be funny with Randy Taylor. I'm telling you, once his wound heals, he's obviously going to have a prosthetic in place of his foot, and he will be standing tall. Okay, so I wasn't trying to be funny on that. I was trying to be actual literal with that. I have no doubt in my mind he's going to be. He's going to be out there walking with the rest of us. And again, I mean that in a literal sense. We've talked about that before. So, it's all good. Okay. I just didn't want anyone to say, boy, you know, Doug's making fun of somebody. No, not at all. All right. With me is obviously Austin Brewer, being so nice to spend more time with me. In fact, just about the entire program. So I might as well just, squeeze out another 13, 14 minutes with him. We'll end it together and end it well. Why not? You know, but folks, that means you're going to have to tune into Ted and Austin Brewer show in the morning as well. Listen to that. You come on at 10, right?
Yeah, 10 a.m. So yeah. Whenever I find come off all these purple sticks here in a little bit, I'll be in bed about 1 or 2, and then I will get up and do this over again. I do enjoy getting the truth out there, though, Doug. I have found now the older I get, the more I enjoy informing people on topics and making people ask questions. A lot of people disagree with me on stuff, and that's okay. I don't mind. I like people to have good debate, good discussion. The biggest problem that I've started to witness now that's actually starting to turn is that people are starting to come to different conclusions that they've always argued me about, and it's kind of funny. So topics that used to be a hard topic in like this vaccine – when I finally go, well, why can't we just have more studies and research on what's going on with this? Well, you're anti-vaccine. I said, I don't know at any point in time where I said something that was just vaccine. I said, isn't science all about studies? So again, this is why I like having these discussions. This is why I like it when people bring topics up. And that's why I like doing the show. Because, I mean, you know, when COVID happened, we had that immune kit, the vitamin C, the D3, and the zinc. It worked unbelievably well for people, keeping the immune system strong even on a daily basis. Then they came out and said, vitamin C doesn't work for COVID. Oh, then they said, D3 doesn't work. Nothing works except the COVID vaccine that doesn't exist yet, or remdesivir that blows your liver and your kidneys out within 3 to 5 business days in the hospital. That's the only standard of care. So again, we have to be able to have an open topic and discussion on these and not have individuals all the time like Dr. Offit come in and say, no discussion, no topic. I am science. If I say it, it's true. Reminds me of Fauci, bro. That guy is such a clown.
Yeah. I was thinking today a lot about, well, just a number of things. I get, you know what, Austin, I get very introspective, and I try to take some time after, of course. Look, I do read I set aside time to read the Bible. Right after that, I like to, especially on cold days, look at the fire in my den, before I start my work day. And I'm talking very early, and just think about things. And today I was really, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot I know that I don't know. Okay. You know what I'm referring. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot that we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But I believe right now, based on the research I've already done, that we're going to find, or it will be found and disclosed, that the CIA, for example, has continued MK Ultra projects. They've continued the experimentation in draconian ways. They have, I think we're going to find things out that we've never thought possible. They're going to be so abhorrent, the exposure to which, and as well as economic things, that you think, you know, it's bad. I don't think we know half as bad, or I don't think we know half as bad as it is. So all of these things combined are just leading to, I think, a cascading of events that will push us to a societal breaking point, if that makes sense. And that's kind of what I indicated earlier in the show. I have a bad feeling about what's to come, and you've got some pretty nasty people, really on both sides. On our side as well, you got some disingenuous, rhino, right-leaning morons who are in it for the grift. And then on the left, you've got ideologically driven and monetary driven people on the left as well. This can't, I see some bad things happening in the near term.
What's going to happen? And you got to ask yourself this question, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Why are they so hell-bent on making sure nobody's able to talk about vaccines without being ostracated? Why are they so bent on making sure real, true, long-term study and health outcome studies cannot be done on vaccines and be published or released at least? Why are they so bent on it? Because they know what they do to the body in high doses with these adjuvants and aluminum in young children. They know there's health problems with them. Why are they so against anybody that talks about it? Because it is a multi, almost like half a trillion dollar a year industry globally as far as the vaccines. It may even be more now. It is a massive cash cow, and it is one of the key cash cows that keeps the medical industrial complex fed. It's a circular. You got to keep people sick, as I was telling earlier. So I'm not trying to talk. I know I'm repeating myself on this, but what they're going to try to do is they're going to get more and more aggressive and militant about this topic. They're going to try to silence people more and more about this topic. There are already people that I know of that tried to publish certain things and suddenly they disappeared. People didn't know where they went anymore. It's certain topics that have come up now where people just can't talk about it. This is why they're constantly trying to do all this disinformation on mainstream media. And so it's really important right now. People keep doing the research. That's why on the Daily Show article links on both the websites, we have all the links. You can go in and look at all the stuff we talk about. You know, that was an article here earlier, and I pulled it up. I was trying to email it. My email still messed up, where it was talking about how what happened, right, with the aspects of the bird flu and how the study that came out that was here. Let me pull it up right here. This is something I really wanted to make sure everybody has access to as far as what they're trying to do with this H5N1, because nobody remembers this because it was 2 years ago. And it was proximal origin of epidemic, highly pathogenic avian influenza H5N1 spread by migratory waterfowl. And it literally goes into detail about the Poultry Research Laboratory in Athens, Georgia, at the medical center in Rotterdam, Netherlands, and essentially how they looked at various animal species at causing different types of viruses to spread among poultry, and then talks about how they actually were working and testing on them and mutating them. And this is basically the study right here. It's on my big screen beside me here. And so understand, this stuff doesn't happen by chance in most cases. They're working on this to make it happen. They're continually talking about it, and they're wanting to get this stuff in the market, out in the public, to get people sick so they can come up with another vaccine. Because here's the problem, and listen to me very closely, my friends, on this. If it comes out that these vaccines that they've been injecting everyone with are extremely dangerous and cause serious long-term health effects and cause autism, which I am confident they are. They haven't released it yet because they restrict anything getting published. If that comes out, it is going to blow off the entire lid of vaccine pushes and vaccine mandates like the COVID shot or the H5N1 vaccine that they're wanting to push. They can't come out of the throttle. They have to stay on the lie and prevent the truth from being talked about, because once it gets exposed, it is going to open an entire question of every vaccine in existence that is currently being used right now to be stopped, halted, or at least long-term tested before it's rolled out anymore. That is why they keep lying. That is why they don't want you talking about it. That is why, like often, refuse to address it and say vaccines have absolutely zero health effects, negative effects. Do not talk about them, essentially. They can't go and talk the truth. Mm. They're too committed to the lie now. That's why they're doing this.
Well, okay. and excuse me. This is why I think we need visible accountability.
Yes.
You know, I'm talking about whatever venue would be appropriate and required to bring Fauci and Birx. Birx finally admitted, made some rather astonishing admissions contradicting herself from, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, about the safety as well as the efficacy of the injections. We all know this, but even some of the most ardent and mind-melded leftists or you know, Biden worshipers or Fauci worshipers, it seems like they're not believing this, or there's some sort of mental dam that's they can't penetrate. How is it possible that people can't see?
Normalcy bias, my friend. Once some people have enough toxicity as far as toxic information put in their brain, they can't possibly grasp or fathom the fact that they have actually been lied to for decades and that they bought into the lie. It's normalcy bias. They can't accept it. They have to stay in the lie, because if they actually admit that they've gone along with a lie or they believe the lie, it's some people that's going to cause a bunch of breakers to blow that can't deal with it. When you have this level of psychological warfare implemented on a population this size, and almost every single thing we've ever been told about health from the mainstream media is a lie, God, that's a big pill to swallow, dude, if you actually got to take a step back and go, wow, I've really been played. See, people that have a high, you know, ability to understand things and basically be able to have, you know, cognitive function and concrete rational thought can look at it and go, okay, I have both sides of this. I see where they're saying this. I see where they're saying this. I see where the lies are coming from. I see where the manipulation is coming from. People have been told now, don't question anything. They're told to sit on their iPhone, play on TikTok, shut their mouth, drool on themselves, go eat Pringles with MSG, go drink your diet sodas, and just collect your stimmy money and be quiet. Once people really start understanding that we have way more purpose than that, they start asking questions. And when they ask questions, they can't be controlled anymore. So people have to break past that barrier. When they do, it opens up a whole other world. But some people don't want to get past that barrier. They like living as a slave, just what it is.
Man, I don't know. The older I get, the more I'm the less of a filter and the less patience I have. Okay.
Yeah, join the club.
I got to tell you, I don't have time for patience anyway. But that was a joke. But but the fact is, we're dealing with an entire class, I think, of people, and this kind of goes into, you know, the trans ideology. Where is it? In that town in Massachusetts where you have, you had this cavalcade of clowns who are trans, and they want to make, what is it, Worcester or Worcester or whatever, Massachusetts, a trans LGBTQIATR, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Like a sanctuary on it.
And to watch them, okay. You know, even if they were dressed, attired normally and appeared normal, I'd have a hard time. But they all come in clown suits, clown makeup, and it's just strange. And then you also have, and I'm tossing this out, you also have parents of children under two who are saying, oh, you know, my child is a trans child. Well, how in the hell? I got so many questions.
They were interviewing some street interview the other day, and they asked this mom. They said, well, when did your child decide they're trans? Oh, my daughter told me at a year and a half.
Yeah.
Your 1.5-year-old daughter told you that she's a transgender and she wants to be a boy now, and you took that seriously from a 1.5-year-old? How stupid are you? You're letting a 1.5-year-old dictate what they want to do? 1.5-year-olds are 1.5-year-olds. They can barely walk. Let's be real. You're sitting there listening to them and taking it a serious note. If they tell you they're Iron Man and they get on the roof in an Iron Man suit 30 feet in the air and say, I'm going to fly because I'm Iron Man, are you going to go for it, Johnny? Dive off the roof head first. You're Iron Man. No, nobody would say that. They'd be like, holy crap, how did he get on the roof? Where's the ladder? Let me get him down. Don't move. That's what any normal, rational person would do. However, these people, they're idiots. They're insane in the head. And quite frankly, they should not be reproducing.
What about the doctors? You take a doctor's license away and credentials away for recommending or for prescribing horse medicine, right?
Yeah, ivermectin. Oh, yeah.
That
wasn't that an irony, right? So doctors come and they start telling their patients to up their vitamin C dose, do intravenous vitamin C, and we're going to prescribe you ivermectin for COVID, and it worked. Remember the one doctor, that was like 4 years ago, he had 100% success rate as far as survivability with COVID cases using intravenous vitamin C and zinc and D3 and ivermectin. And they kind of said, you can't do this. We're going to strip you of your license if you prescribe ivermectin. He goes, dude, ivermectin's like, one of the oldest antiparasitics since the 80s. Got a prize. Great product. We're stacking with vitamin C. Nobody's dying. Everybody's walking out a couple days after COVID. No, no, no. We're the CDC and we have the medical board with us. If you do not listen to us, we're going to strip you your license. That's when you knew it was never about health and safety.
Man,
fear and control. And that's what it's always been about with them. You keep the people fearful, you can control the population. And that's what
I got to say this. Okay. I think it was after a show I did with you. I don't know. It was a show I did. No, it wasn't. It was, the beginning of the year. So it's, what is this? The 19th of February. It would have been about the 5th of January. I mean, okay. In the course of 15 minutes, man, I went from feeling fine to feeling like, you know, I got hit by a semi I could barely move. And, my wife says, you're gonna test it for COVID. I said, I don't want to effing test, you know, I don't need a test. I don't care what I got. I feel like crap. Anyway.
Exactly. I feel like crap. I got something. Hammer supplements. I'm sick. Okay.
I mean, it's not going to change what I was going to do. I immediately began on ivermectin. But by the way, she did test me when I was comatose, slightly. So anyway, it turned out positive for COVID. First time ever. But anyway. So I took ivermectin, and 3 days later, man, I am okay. I am like 100%, except for an upper respiratory issue I had for quite some time. And I'm still kind of fighting that a little bit. But I guess so the Z-Pak, the ivermectin, and by the way, folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. Okay, I don't care where you get it from, how you get it. Have some ivermectin, human ivermectin, because it's easier to dose that way. Z-Pak, I know our affiliates, the wellness company, I would grab them. And then, in addition to that, I took Health Masters. Okay. I was taking C. Eric the Tech, he told me, he said, you better like mega dose on C. Zinc, D3K2. Zinc, yeah.
Well, the thing was, zinc, when they looked at the research, zinc in combination with ivermectin actually amplified it, almost like a speaker amplifier. It made ivermectin so much more effective. And also because the zinc was like the key. I forgot the actual mechanism it worked. I knew all about it when it happened. But so it really was crucial because remember, zinc is a key component of the immune system. And that's why you got to make sure you stay on it. The body needs it, especially men. Men need it for their prostate. It's great for sperm health. Zinc is so important. It's cheap. Zinc glycinate. It's very effective. That's why we put it together in that immune kit stack. And so that's why I tell people.
Should you take zinc with anything else? Okay, so zinc by itself. If I would purchase a bottle of zinc from you, should I purchase something else?
I usually recommend the zinc with also the Ultimate Multiple. A lot of times zinc has a little bit better absorption with some copper, which the Ultimate Multiple has in it. Very low dose, though. You got to be very careful with that. And so that's a great thing because the Ultimate Multiple already has zinc in it, but then you kind of stack the dosage up with it. And that way you're getting a good balance of minerals and nutrients throughout the day. And then also, too, you can also take the prostate support that we have. That's got a high dose of zinc in it as well. And so, you know, getting healthy and staying healthy, they're not rocket science. They're actually quite easy if you just listen and you figure out what to do properly. It's not that hard.
Man, I'll tell you what, and the way you've packaged everything to me is genius. I don't have to think a whole lot, okay, when I go on your website. That's teamhealthmasters.com or Health Masters if you're old-fashioned and you can't break a habit. That's Health Masters or Team Health Masters. But check it out tonight. And after you get done checking it out, I would recommend folks, you know, I had J.J. Carroll on earlier this week. His book Treason is out. I would order a hard copy of his book Treason. That aside, go back to Health Masters and to shop as well as listen while you're shopping to Ted Nossen Brower Show, because that is critical information. You heard him for 2 hours. My gosh, I kept him longer than thank you, Austin, for hanging
with
me.
It's always a pleasure being on the show with you. And also, too, to let all of our listeners know, we have the express shipping program now, $19.99. get you your stuff pretty much anywhere in the country in 3 days or less. I know there's been a lot of issues with the Postal Service and Priority Mail. Right. For the last couple of months, it's getting really bad with stuff getting delayed for almost 2 weeks. The express shipping package gives you VIP shipping. We ship it out same day. You get your stuff, and like I said, almost immediately right to your front door, air package usually. So utilize that if you're wanting to stay stocked up on Perfect. Stuff. Don't rely on the post office.
I tell you what, I sent books out, and I got emails saying, where's my book? And I sent it out. You know, it's like I sent out priority mail, you know, and – It was just crazy.
That's what we used to. We use all priority mail, and it's become a fiasco. So UPS, next day air, second day air, 3 day select. That's what we use, the express shipping now, and everybody's using it. And the DHL for the international shipping, that gets like Australia from Florida in like 4 days. That one's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, I can't get priority 4 days across town, but
no. Across the state.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. We're at the end of the show. Folks, I want to thank everyone in the chat. God bless you. Thank you so very much for hanging with us. Thanks for following us on Rumble and also on X. And do so. Bookmark teamhealthmasters.com and support them by...